Well, it's the study of resolution in the Christian life, and just by way of review, we've looked at four resolutions now. Can you give me one of them? What are they? I will what?
Obey.
Trust. Testify. And pray. Four resolutions of the godly that we find in the book of Psalms. And would anyone like to venture a guess as to the next resolution? No peeking at the song sheet. I will praise. That's the next resolution. So I'm going to ask you to take your song sheet. If you don't have one, hold up your hand and we'll get you one. But in this song, we're going to praise the Lord for Him being the Lamb that was slain for sinners. We're going to praise Him for His free offer of the gospel that called us to come and be cleansed. We're going to praise Him for the effective wooing of the Holy Spirit that drew us to Christ for cleansing, and for Jesus having taken us in and received us and forgiven us and cleansed us. So, believer, whatever else is happening in your life or is not happening, here are plenty reasons to praise the Lord. So we come to the I will of praise then, the resolution to praise the Lord. Now, we really should not need to resolve to praise the Lord, should we? And why not? Why should we really not need to resolve, I will praise Him? Raj?
It should come natural.
And why?
Because He's in us.
Because He's in us, okay. Why shouldn't we need to resolve to praise the Lord?
He's given us so many reasons.
He's given us all these reasons to praise Him. So, yeah, Mark?
He's God. He's worthy of our praise.
Yeah. So it's only fitting for us to praise. It's only right for us to praise Him. It would be wrong for us not to praise Him. Praise ought to come as natural as breathing. In fact, if He'd never done anything more for us than what we just sang about, cleansing us from our sin, that would be worth a song that would never end. Indeed, as we peek into heaven, what are they singing? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy of what? To receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and praise. If it was only that, that would set a song started in our hearts that all eternity will not erase, that will never grow old through the endless ages. So He well deserves our praise, and we ought to never tire of praising Him. Then why is it necessary to resolve to praise the Lord? Because it's a command, okay? It is our duty to praise Him. We'll see more of that in our study. Jason?
I think of that song, I can't remember what it is, but this dull soul, the rapture raised. I have a dull soul sometimes.
The dullness of our hearts. Jim?
Because of the indwelling sin, we don't give Him praise that we should.
Okay. Dwelling sin is like a weight on a bird's foot. It wants to fly, but it can't get airborne. The weight is holding it down. And there are times when our spirits are just held down by indwelling sin, and we can't rise like we should. Yes, Dale?
But that dwelling sin also wants to exalt self. Mm. Praise exalts God.
Amen. So it's got us looking to ourselves rather than to God. Why do we need to resolve to praise Him?
Psalmist says, praise the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We forget.
What makes us forget God's benefits? We ought to be remembering all these benefits and so never be short on praise. But what kinds of things make us forget? Scott?
Sometimes when they're so abundant, we just forget about it.
All right. The first time that manna fell from heaven, the Israelites were jumping up and down, praising God. Halfway into the 39th year, ick. We hate this miserable stuff. There's something about daily mercies that if we're not careful, as Scott's saying, we can just start taking them for granted. They don't raise this song of praise in our hearts. What else makes us forget to praise Him and forget His blessings?
In our sin, we feel entitled.
Okay. So we may receive them and recognize it, but there's this sense of, well, I really deserve that. I ought to have that. And that really puts a damper on praise, doesn't it? What else makes us forget the benefits of God to praise Him? Pardon?
Plenty and comfort.
Plenty and comfort. So we get to where we're comfortable and we're not enjoying the comforts that God gives us, not returning them to Him in praise. What about the opposite side of that? Do afflictions ever interrupt your praise? Trials, troubles, hard circumstances? Do those things ever interrupt praise? Well, they don't diminish in the least who God is and what He's done for me, and yet somehow hard times can make me forget His goodness and who He is. And so, yes, we find that there are many things that make us forgetful and that dampen our spirits of praise. It's all too easy to put our focus on what we don't have rather than what we've already received. And these things can untune our hearts from praise. So quiz, yes or no quiz. Number one, do you always feel like praising the Lord? No. Okay. Number two, do you always have sufficient reason to praise the Lord? Does He always deserve your praise? Yes. Well, then right there, you have the reason why we need to resolve to praise the Lord. Because we don't always feel like it, and yet He is always deserving of it. So I will praise Him. The resolve that we must make. And when we do make that resolve, we find ourselves in good company in the Bible. The Psalms are loaded with this resolve of the godly to praise Him. It's the godly that are making this resolution, who feel this coolness of heart and this need to stir themselves up to praise. It's them that are saying over and over again in the Psalms, I will praise Him. And it's the Lord Jesus Himself, as to His perfect humanity, resolved to praise the Lord. In Psalm 22:22, quoted in Hebrews 2:13, as the words of Jesus, He says, in the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. I will. I will. Now notice this. Now, not to say that the Lord has some of the problems that we do, downdrag of inward sin. He doesn't. But He still, as a man, resolved to praise the Lord. My God deserves praise, even when I'm staring into the cup of Calvary and trembling to think of drinking. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. He had many reasons that, left to man, might have withered the vine of praise. And so he resolved to praise Him. Now, we notice in Jesus' resolve, I will sing your praise, that some of God's praises ought to be sung. That He's deserving of spoken praise, but also we find in the psalmist that He is to receive sung praise from us. Well, turn to Psalm 108. We're going to turn quickly, but they're all in the Psalms here, and so I trust you can make your way around rather quickly. Psalm 108, I want you to draw out the resolve of the psalmist in this verse. Tell me, where do you see resolve in the psalmist in Psalm 108, verse 1, a psalm of David? My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. What are the identifying markers in this verse of resolve?
I will.
That's the one we're seeing in all these texts. I will. It's the determination. Anything else in this verse? My heart is steadfast. My heart is fixed. So here we have it. According to David, praise is not something just to do only when you feel like it. David will not leave this important business to his feelings alone, but lives by principle. God deserves praise. I am fixed on this point. I am determined. I am resolved to give it to him. Now, as we turn to many of these texts where the psalmist resolves to praise God, we'll see that resolve mainly in the word, I will. But I want you to notice as we run through them some of the reasons why he is resolving to praise the Lord. Psalm 7, we'll begin toward the beginning of the Psalter, and we'll make our way through, just jumping over many verses. Psalm 7:17. And words like extol, words like give thanks, words like exalt, those are synonyms of praise and are part of praise. And here it's, I will praise or I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. His righteousness, his name. Remember his name in the Bible, that's just shorthand for all of his attributes. So sometimes those attributes are specified. Other times it just says his name. So when I speak your name, that goes for all that you are. It's comprised in your name. And so with the name of God, it's shorthand for all that he is. And David is resolved to praise him for all that he is. Chapter 9 and verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Your wonders. Your wonderful deeds. Later in the psalmist, Psalm 139, he says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows this quite well, that your works are wonderful. Power says in his book, the psalmist saw enough in his own body to excite his praise. So we don't have to look far when it comes to time to, why should we praise the Lord? Just look at your body, David says. Fearfully, wonderfully praise. I will praise you because your works are wonderful. Just the ability to digest the food that we will stick in our mouths in a couple hours. Amazing things that are going on inside to turn that food into energy, to strengthen us. Every system in the body, every muscle, nerve, organ, reason to praise the Lord, David says. All your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We sing that song, if I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the stars. We can't help but see these wonders that call forth the resolve to praise him. Psalm 13 and verse 6. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. He's dealt bountifully with me, another translation says. And so David has just been through a great trial of how long, O Lord, how long, he starts this psalm out. But then he remembers, even in his waiting posture, and it's still a long wait, and yet he says, oh, but I will sing praise. Even though I'm still waiting for this problem, I will sing. Why? Because you have dealt bountifully. You've been good to me. And that remembrance of the goodness of God stirs fresh resolve in David to praise him even while he's waiting long for some desired mercy. Chapter 16, verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. So he is our wonderful counselor, and he always tells us the right way to go, the best way to go. Should that not stir our resolve? Thank you, Lord. You've spared me from all the different ways that I by nature would go and try out and fail. And you told me right up front, this is the way. Walk in it. Wonderful counselor. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. And then Psalm 71:22. And we're passing over dozens as we turn our pages this far. 71:22, I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. His faithfulness stirs resolve to praise him, his holiness. And then Psalm 118, verse 21, I will give you thanks, or I will praise you, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Here's the praise for answered prayer. P.B. Power says, in this point above all others, God is frequently robbed of his praise. Men pray, and then they receive an answer to their prayer, and then they forget to praise. This happens especially in small things. We should ever remember that whatever is worth praying for is worth praising for. So how long have you prayed for something? How many weeks, how many months, how many years have you prayed for something? Let your praise on the other side of the receiving end be as long as you're praying for. As Power says, whatever is worth praying for is worth praising for. I will praise you for you answered me. And it's not just praising him for the specific thing that he had asked for, but it's praising just for the fact that he heard me and answered. Lord, that you even listened to this man. I praise you. This is amazing. That here, me on earth, can cry out to you, and there in heaven, you turn your ear toward me. You're attentive toward me. He's just praising God just for his attentiveness to him, as well as the actual blessing received. Well, Psalm 18:28, you are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. High privilege of calling this one and true God mine. You're my God, and that's reason for me to give high praise to you. So, 138:2. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. We have skipped more verses than we have recited just to give us a flavor of the resolve of the psalmist and how often he was stirred to make that resolve afresh. And I trust that that's something we can learn about all of our resolves, that they're not just resolves, okay, in January and February of 2017, I resolved these five things. No, what we're seeing in the Psalms is that there is this continual renewal of his resolve. And it's the continual reasons to renew. As he lives with this God and he enjoys who he is, he doesn't just suck in the blessing, but he says, oh, John, that deserves a praise from your heart. I will praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done and so on. So let your resolutions be remade and renewed as you bask in the glory of who your God is and what he's done for you. Power then lists some of the various characteristics of praise. What is the psalmist resolving to do? Well, he's resolving to praise the Lord. What does that look like? What characterizes that praise that he's resolving? Well, there's several words I want to draw our attention to. And I guess just as summarizing what we've just seen, we ought to say that praise is specific. It's specific. We hear the general praise of praise, I will praise your name, shorthand for all he is. But we've heard specific attributes of God praised along the way, haven't we? And he's able to take whatever has happened in his life or whatever he's thinking about and connect it to an attribute of God, something about God to praise. That's a beautiful way to stir up praise in our hearts. What attribute of God is shining? What attributes, plural, are shining in this event in my life and in this scenario? Let it be specific. He gives us specific blessings. Let our praises be as specific as his answers to our prayers, his attributes, his mercies, his deliverances. Specific praise. But secondly, wholehearted praise. He's resolving to praise with all his heart. Psalm 9, we go back to the beginning, early in the Psalms, we see this resolution of David. Right out of the gate, he's saying, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. One, two, three, four, five, at least five more times in the Psalter. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my heart. So we get the point. David is resolving that his praise will be wholehearted praise. He's resolved to give more than lip service. Oh, it's time to praise in the service? Oh, we stand and we sing praise. David says, I will resolve to praise you with more than my lips. Not only with my mouth, but with my heart. And not with half of it, but with all of it. In Psalm 103, he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. All my innards, all the inner part of me, all that inside, praise the Lord. He wants his heart running out in praise to his God. Power says a good deal of dead formalism is in praise comes from not thinking. And I think that's what Tim was reminding us of. A good deal of this dead formalism of just lip service comes from not using our noggins, as my father would say. We need to think. And Power gives us some of the things to think upon, and we'll see more of this next week. One of the things we ought to think upon is, why should I receive this mercy from God when others haven't? Wow. That'll humble you and stir you to praise. We should think what might have been our state if we had not received his blessing. That's how the psalmist speaks in Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, well, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. And so just the realization, what might have happened had God not been my God in this situation and acted on my behalf? One poor old widow who lost the use of both of her feet for a period of time was still praising God. Here's her reason. I can't help thinking, what if it had been my hands? What if it had been my hands? How favored I am. So think, what might have happened? Not just look at what might have happened had the Lord not shown mercy to me. And then we need to think how needy we are of God to offer any praise from the heart. Pastor Jason mentioned it. Just turn to number 69 in your hymnal. We hear a song quite often from this author, Francis Scott Key, the national anthem for our country. But this is a song that he wrote concerning this business of resolving to praise the Lord with all our hearts. In the very first verse, Lord, with glowing heart I'd praise thee for the bliss thy love bestows, for the pardoning grace that saves me and the peace that from it flows. Help, O Lord, my weak endeavor, this dull soul to rapture raise. Thou must light the flame or never can my love be warmed to praise. Francis Scott Key is not content to praise God without a glowing heart, without all his heart, without having his heart warmed to praise. He says, God deserves to be praised with all my heart, but I find my heart is often dull and cold. So not just to say, well, that's just part of what it means to be a fallen creature on this time period before heaven. I guess we just settle in. Francis Scott Key says, no way, I'm not settling in. I'm not content. I will praise you with all my heart. Oh, God, come and light the flame, or never will my heart, your love, my love be warm to praise. And so just as we are to pray, we ought to pray to praise. And that's what he's doing here. Lord, light the flame. Lord, bring to my heart this wholeheartedness in prayer. So we ought to praise him specifically. We ought to praise him wholeheartedly. We ought to praise him greatly. Psalm 96:4, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is great. He is greatly to be praised. Small praise for a big God? Something's wrong with this picture. Great God deserves great praise. Psalm 109:30, with my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord. I will give him high praise. So that's another mark or characteristic of the kind of praise that the psalmist resolves to give to God. And then there are several categories that speak of the continuance of praise, where the psalmist is resolving that his praise not just be occasional, but that it be continuous. Power says some have long gaps between their song, their sounds of praise, sporadic praise. What they term minor mercies go unpraised. Only great mercies awaken praise. So there's these long gaps. Well, the psalmist uses several phrases to talk about his praise being continuous. The first one is every day. Psalm 145, 1. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Every day. Not just on the Lord's day when we gather to praise corporately, but every day. Not just on weekend days, but on Mondays. And on Wednesdays, every day, each day on the calendar, what day is it? It's a day to praise the Lord. I will praise you every day. The psalmist uses the phrase all day long as well. Every day, all day long. You're starting to pile these up and you're beginning to see just how continuous this praise is. Every day. Now Psalm 71:15, my mouth will tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. So this is the resolve, to fill up the day with praise. You know that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine? Chorus, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Fanny, is that the author of that hymn? Where'd you get that phrase? Well, Psalm 71:15, the psalmist resolved to praise the Lord all day long. Now, if we're to praise him all day long, that means we need to resolve to begin the day with praise. And to resolve to end the day with praise. And then to resolve just to fill up the in-between with praise. To live in the continual attitude of praise, even as we live in this continual attitude of prayer. And we keep coming back to God throughout our day. We're living in an attitude of prayer. We ought to see to it that prayer is filled with praise. Praise him, we sing the chorus. Praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. All day long. And then the psalmist uses at all times. Every day, all day long. At all times, Psalm 34:1, I will extol, I will highly praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips, continually in my mouth. So to praise the Lord at all times, think of the different times in your life and in your day. To praise him at all times will mean not only when things are going well, but during those times when things are going difficult. And God will be robbed of praise if we only praise him in those circumstantial blessings that we receive from him. But Power says praise is as much due him in time of sorrow as of joy. And to the healthy Christian, all times will furnish materials for praise. I know I've told you this before, but I can't think of anything that more clearly illustrates praising God at all times in our life. Philip Henry, the minister, when robbed on the highway, demonstrates a spirit of praise and thanksgiving at all times. Well, what is there to give praise to God for when you've just been robbed? by some highwaymen back in the 16th century or the 17th century. Well, number one, that though they took my money, they didn't take my life. And number two, that though they took all I had, I didn't have a lot with me. And number three, that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. There's always, at all times, at all different kinds of times, reasons to praise the Lord. Henry found three of them after being robbed. It seems that in every situation, we can look at our cup and we can either see it half full or half empty. And we can focus on what we don't have and what, or what we've already received. And turn these times into times of praise. And then the psalmist uses this phrase, as long as I live. So all day, every day, at all times, now, as long as I live. This is the length of our praise. The concentration of our praise. The length. Psalm 63:4, I will praise you as long as I live. Psalm 104:33, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Psalm 146:2, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Or as the King James says, as long as I have any being. So if I have any existence, let there be praise coming out of me. It's my lifetime passion, is what the psalmist is saying. So when I'm young and just setting out in life with the troubles of marriage and young children and all of that, I will praise the Lord during that time of my life. My middle age, and we've got different problems in middle age, and yes, in the problems of older age. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will never outgrow this resolve to praise Him. In fact, the longer I live, the longer the list of why I should praise Him gets. I've received more things from Him. So the psalmist says in Psalm 119, 175, let me live that I may praise you. If you want to live another day, another week, another year, why? The psalmist says that I may praise you. That's the bottom line. We live to the glory, to the honor, the praise of God. And as if that weren't enough, the psalmist also uses the phrase forever. Psalm 52:9, I will praise you forever for what you have done. Psalm 145:1, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever, as if you can ratchet up forever. Now it's forever and ever. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. So praising the Lord doesn't end with this life. For the happy business of heaven is praising the Lord. We sing that last verse of Come Christians, Join to Sing. Life shall not end the strain. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness will adore. Singing forevermore, hallelujah. Which means, praise the Lord. So with each believer's death, God is just recruiting another member for His heavenly choir where they will sing forever and ever His praises and will sing them as we've never sung before, with unsinning heart, with no dullness at all. We will fully, with all of our hearts, enter into that praise. Every day, all day, at all times, forever and ever. These are the resolves of the man of God. This isn't an angel. They're praising him continuously. No, this is a man, a real man like you and me, with all of our foibles and troubles, and yet here he is. He's not setting in and settling. He's resolving. I'm not content unless I'm praising. So he resolves to praise him. And then there's one other that I think is just a good one to end on. And it's, how are we to praise him? Increasingly. Psalm 71:14. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. So, don't know where you are on the praise meter. But this passage is just saying, I will. I resolve to praise him more and more. So, Praise is meant to be a growing thing in the Christian life. Praise is meant to be an increasing thing. And if we are praising more and more, then those who have been Christians the longest should be the most praising Christians, right? If more and more, it shouldn't just be the new Christian who's full of praise for the Lord. It should be those who more and more, all through their lives, they should be the ones who are the oldest people in the Lord, should be those who are the most full of praise. So are you growing in praise? That's the point. Can you resolve this morning, God, by your grace, I want to praise you more this week than I did last week. I want to fill up my day with praise. I want to fill up my life with praise. Next week, Lord willing, we'll consider some practical ways that we can do that. And you might be thinking of ways to share with us. How do you fill up your day and your life with praise, a spirit of praise? How do you stir up that dull heart to praise the Lord? Well, we're about to do so corporately as we gather for worship. Cry out to the Lord, stir my heart to praise, and may he meet us. He inhabits the praises of his people. We're dismissed.